We were on page 13. Rav Kook was describing the strangeness of the generation. Muzar hu hador hazeh. The strangeness compared to the past. Whereas in the past, when there was a breakdown, in Yiddishkeit, in Shmiras HaMitzvahs, it led to an overall hefkeirus, a life of hefkeirus, in every respect. In terms of tzedek, mishpat, gemilas chasadim, it was a total breakdown of both sides of the luchas. Much anykain in our generation, of Cook's generation, and in our time as well. On the one hand, there's a rebelliousness. There is an abandonment to a large extent of Torah mitzvahs, but on the other hand, there's an extraordinary demand for yashvus, for erlichkeit. There's an idealism that we haven't seen in the past. That's what he writes. Kim Eiver Mizeh Chutzpah Yiskad. On the one hand, there's tremendous chutzpah. Ein HaBen Mizbayish on page, we're just reviewing for a second, page 13, at the end. Ein HaBen Mizbayish Me'aviv. All of the predictions of Chazal of the terrible chutzpah that will be at the end of time have come to pass, and we see before our eyes where children are not embarrassed before their parents. Narim Pnei Zekeinim Yalbinu. Young people, chutzpah to humiliate older people. On the other hand, tremendous feelings of yashvus and mishpat, compassion. He spoke about a care, a concern for people who are underprivileged, a tremendous, tremendous idealism. And Rav Kook puts together the Koach HaMadoi, science, Koach HaMadoi, science, Vaidiyeli, and idealism, Pirates are breaking out, Va'ula and ascending. So there's a page that you have, should be, I guess you put it inside there, from the Kabbatzim, in the first Kaivitz, Top Ayin Tes. This is something that we find, and we'll do another piece on Eretz HaKodesh Chelek Beis. This is something that we find in a number of places in Rav Kook's writings, which we were talking about at the very end last Erev Shabbos, that the Hashgacha Pratis, that as long as man was morally underdeveloped, mankind, civilization was morally underdeveloped, it was technologically underdeveloped. That's Rav Kook writes that in many places. To have technological development in the absence, in a vacuum of moral idealism, Rav Kook writes very often, is terribly destructive, is terribly, terribly dangerous. Terribly dangerous. So on the piece in front of you, from the Kabbatzim, which is tough ayin tes, Hamusar ha'anoishi, holeich, it's important to understand this point, it's going to come back. Hamusar ha'anoishi, holeichu v'toiv b'pnimiyusa. Rav Kook believed in evolution, not in the origin of the species, not in Darwin's evolution, but he believed in the spiritual evolution of mankind. And Hamusa ha'anoishi ha'ilichu v'toy b'pnimiyuso. Musa ha'anoishi, ethics, morality, ha'ilichu v'toy b'pnimiyuso. Rav Kook says we see that it's becoming better and better, but pnimiyuso, in a deep way. As we spoke a lot about last week, the sensitivity to minorities, to underprivileged workers, and so on. chmus anayish yehalechu v'toy v'pnimiyuso. Ulu'umaso, and in conjunction with that, halechasi ha'hispaschus hamadois, technological, scientific progress, more and more. Umofia betsuros chadoshos, that's appearing in new ways. Remarkable advances in science, in medicine, and technology. Hamakilos es ol hachaim, that have made the burden of life much lighter. Life was becoming much easier. There's a big chilek between taking a train and taking a horse. Life was becoming incredibly easier. Now we would look back, of course, from Cook's days, and we say, I can't believe it. There's no microwave, there's no GPS. It's like impossible to live. But the changes that took place from Cook's days compared to the time that he was a child, it's not like when we were children and the stuff is more advanced. It was a mahapech hamamish, a complete revolution, a scientific, technological revolution. Everything was different. In Rav Kook's lifetime, the airplane was developed as a form of transportation. It could be masik, what it was like. In the absence of that, what it's like. You can't even be masik such a thing. And many, many other things. So Rav Kook says that the world is evolving morally and technologically. They move together. Now why is that? See, he explains. Im hoyu ha'izgalios halolu. If these scientific revelations, im hoyu ha'izgalios halolu bo'os la'olam, if they would appear in the world, be'is shahamuso ha'yapochis me'oysa madregesh ha'na'omdim v'yachshav. If these advances, If these improvements would have appeared or would appear in the world and would find the world in a state of ethical and moral deficiency, on a lower level than we're on now, it would ruin, it would destroy the whole Seder of life. The technology, the sciences would ruin the Seder of life. Hay mekalkel Seder chaim, oitzam ha'oysher umiyut ha'omal. There would be great wealth, umiyut ha'omal, and a diminished, smaller amount of effort, of work. We see that in certain parts of society. When life becomes easier, and as a result of the conditions of life becoming much easier, and there's more of a sense of malach donazes aydei acherim, who's the acherim? Machines, technology, and so on. So when people are morally underdeveloped, that saps them of any motivation to work, to think. It takes away ambition and drive. The geniuses are sitting in laboratories and coming up with all kinds of good stuff, but the hamainam is becoming lazier and lazier, less and less motivated, less driven. Shimum maybe they hate. Chazal say, it says in the Mishnah, boredom brings this in. Our generation is very bored. The boredom is unbelievable. And boredom brings this in. Our parents and grandparents wouldn't have had the time to sit around and look at these little tchotchkes all day. They wouldn't have the time to say, or walking in the street, holding onto the tchotchke. How do you hold on to something? In the old days, they had their hands full. People carrying things. Now the hands are empty. So what are you going to do? Hands are empty. So you have a tchotchke. Walk in the street with a toy. Our grandparents didn't have the luxury of walking around without their hands full. They were schlepping. They were carrying. Their hands were all day long holding. Different farming thing, different equipment, different. This one's a tailor, this one's a farmer. What would it be like to be a farmer if you needed to look at your iPad? Can you imagine what that would be like? How they'd have to set up some kind of a thing around your neck. Like you and the cow would look at you and say, Yoda Shar Kainehu. He has to walk around with a thing with his, he'd have to have his iPad. And you have to go like that with that. And then it's hard because you have to scroll, so you have to make something coming out from the nose. That's what it would be like. To scroll up and down with the nose. That's why God gave Jews such long noses. And you'd have to go like that with a behemoth. And then you wouldn't even realize you'd just go right off the edge of the hill, off the mountain. Our grandparents were too busy. They wouldn't have. So Rav Kook is saying that in Mahayus Galdius Alolabais Baos Laolam Besha Musa Pachas Maisam Adregish and I'm the Baksha of Haimakakala Sedachai because it kills you. As it is, it's hard. There is a kilkel. But we'll see here in Isaac Kredish, it can't be compared to what would have been the kilkel. At a time when most of mankind was barbaric, you give a primitive, morally empty person, you give him advanced weapons of mass destruction. No. Right now, they're sitting around, you know, in basements in Iran someplace, and these developing nuclear weapons, and they bring into these horse thieves, they go, oh, look at this. This is gewaldig. They're going to blow up the world. the danger of putting technology into the hands of people who are not holding by it. Even, it sounds horrible, but even longevity, long life, in the hands of people who are abusing life, who are misusing life. What's the Gweisa Chachma? You know, people living now, it's not unusual to hear, 85, 90. Even when I was a kid, it was very rare that somebody was 90. There was already like a strange thing. To hear somebody was 90. Now, Baruch Hashem. To say that when long life is in the hands of people who know how to use their lives, it's a gift. But when long life is in the hands of people who are destructive, self-destructive, and destructive of others, what's the blessing? What's the bracha? So there's such a hashgacha for there to be a tremendous amount of wealth, and at the same time, people don't know how to use the wealth. We see cases like that, how that destroys people. They don't have the kalim. You get these ball players. These ball players that they grew up, most of them grew up in poverty. And then like this guy, he doesn't know how to spell his name. And he's got all these Jewish lawyers around him, and he's signing some contract for, you know, $100 million. It's done. He doesn't know what to do with it. He doesn't have a Seder Chaim to accommodate that kind of Aisha. He doesn't know what to do with it. And it's Makal Kalachai. Destroys his life. It's Aisha Shomur Leba'alav. The Ra'asai. Amish destroys their lives. There's no Kalim for such an Aisha. They don't have the Kalim for wealth like that. And the worst thing is Miyuta Omo. People are not motivated to work. Life becomes easier. People become lazy, unmotivated. And Rav Kook says, of course, so that's changed. We'll see more in the other piece. That's changed a lot, Baruch Hashem. There has been this moral evolution. There is, as Rav Kook describes, as we saw the Maimer, there is an increased sense of chesed, yoisha, mishpat, chemla, moral improvement. And as a result of that, soul-searching, what life is about and what we can do with the privileges that we now have, the advancements that Hashgach has brought into our lives. What can life be used for? How can we use life in a better way? And so on. And all of the technology, how can the technology be used to be helpful? And so on. You were confused, you know. Mm-hmm. No, you are.
I'm just listening. Okay.
That's hard. That's confusing. but he says, Omnam, however, gam case. Even now. Bisum ha-musar hu munach rak b'toich yuso. B'seisa ha-madrega. Even now, this bisum means, literally, means like the fragrance of, but it means, even now, Musar, the true ideal of Musar is b'tarchiyuso b'seisa ha-madrega. It's not fully developed. Musar is, it's coming around. You know, there's a sense of yosher, mishpat, all these good values and ethics. It's cooking inside b'tarchiyuso b'seisa ha-madrega, more in a hidden way. Things are much better, but the technology is moving very fast. Al kain rabbi sein hamaniyos shein a nois laodlam bechlolo lehenos mi'alomo. And therefore, there are still many obstructions that are making it difficult for man to enjoy the world that he lives in. In other words, we have all of these gifts that we have in the world, and how much better life is, but. But because we haven't fully developed internally, it's hard to have pleasure from all the gifts that Hashem's brachas give. It's hard to have pleasure from all of the advancement. Again, so people are living longer lives. So now what? In the past, they would die when they'd be 50, 55, and that was the end of the parasha. They worked hard since the time that they were 11, 12 years old. They're out on the farm, right? The little children. And they worked like that, and they worked, and then when they were 50, 55, many times earlier, the women died in childbirth, and then they finished, it was done. With longer life, there's a tremendous need to provide elderly people with things to do nowadays. There wasn't such a thing in the past because they didn't live to be so old. They worked and then they died. Now people are living and they finish working. They're 65, they finish working at Baruch Hashem. They're living to be the late 80s into the 90s. What's going to happen those years? What are they going to do? If a person is a Baal HaSogis, a man or a woman's a Baal HaSogis, to think, to learn, to read, to develop more and more, so then advancements, most importantly, the longer life, a tremendous bracha, and they enjoy those years. But if a person is not developed internally, then the longer years, mamish, are a curse. What's the revach? What do they gain from the longer years? To be in the world stam like that, to be in the world and to be. And to be physically less capable of getting around and so on. And what's the revach? So people are not, because we're still underdeveloped internally, there are many issues. It's hard for people to enjoy the world that they live in. To have hanoah from the world. In other words, life has never been better. because we don't feel the gratitude because we're used to it. But it's never been like this. And still people are not having hana. People are not enjoying life. They're not enjoying life. And because internally we're still underdeveloped, it's better. Things are much better. Rav Kook says it's better. But we're not there yet. And because of that, all of these hamtzos, all of these discoveries, all of this new stuff, is not making people much happier. I don't think that needs any explanations. What's going on nowadays with all the... So now it's fantastic because people can constantly be in touch with each other. So people are happier. All the studies that are coming out, this is just starting now because this is the first generation has all the technology now, the computers, in such a way with the communication. All of the studies are showing that man's never been as miserable, as unhappy. All the studies show that the more that a person is hooked up, the less happy he is. Every single study shows that. At least I'm not a buck in these things, but whatever I've seen, whatever's been shown to me, people show me a lot of things. They're just starting now. People have been studying these things. It's really just now. There's a whole new field of study. What effect is technology having on the happiness factor? Seems to be that people were much happier back on the farm. Or when you had a phone that had a wire on it. And there was a busy signal. Some of you don't even remember that. There was one thing called a busy signal. I had a friend of mine that did a perfect impersonation of a busy signal. You just pick up the phone, and if it was somebody, the one here, that's before there was caller ID. So the guy would say, "Hey, Yankee," and the guy would just go, That was the caller ID back in the 1960s. You just had to imitate a busy signal. That was it. You didn't have caller ID. Think of the Musa. Think of the whole inning of caller ID. Mila chai, mila mavis. Right, somebody calls you. Mi ba'esh, mi ba'mai. You look at the thing and it says over there, whatever, it says Baruch Schwartz. And start the thing, Baruch Schwartz. And, think just of what the Ramchal, what the Mesil Shalom would say about such, the whole way that works. Again, we're so used to it. Look at this. Oh, this. The whole thing, every single time, it brings a person to a place that, in terms of the mechus of a Jew, that this is not right. It's not such a good thing. It's very, very comfortable. It's good. Because you waste less time, because it's a terrible churban of a person's life, the time. It's a churban. The telephone's a churban. But the musa of making these choices every single time, we see a name on the phone, look at the phone, to decide this is, I'm interested, I'm not interested, I'll take it, I won't take it. You know, the messages. Well, we need to delete how many times a person... You hear something and it's in the middle of the message and you say, you delete it. So you're interrupting a person. You're interrupting a person. A person's talking to you and you're interrupting. I thought about it. I'm telling you, I'm admitting it's terrible. That I thought about it. Why am I saying it? Because I thought about this Erev Yontif. So I had a Talmud of mine. That was saying, Rabbi wanted a call to wish you good yontif, and he was in the middle, and I went, and I deleted it. And afterwards, I sat back, and I thought about this. I said, here the guy, he went to the trouble. He lives out of town. He went to the trouble. He remembered his Rabbi to call me on Erev Yontif. And I had, because I had like 25 calls on Erev Yontif, and I was going out of my kelim. And everybody says, I know it's, they always introduce by saying, I know that it's Erev Yontif, but if you have some time, can we talk? Is it 4 o'clock? You know, Erev Yontif. I know it's always with the introduction. I know it's Erev Yontif. Like the introduction when it says, please don't call Wednesday, and the person always says, I know it's Wednesday. And Afal Pichin. So I know it's Erev Yontif. I just want to have a little time. And so then this tzaddik is calling me to wish me a good Yontif, not to call, not to have a conversation, just to say good Yontif. But I had all the other calls, so he says, Rabbi, I just want to call, say good Yontif. And I always say to the phone, okay, good Yontif, but he was in the middle of talking. And I went, he wasn't done, he had all kinds of brachas for me. And I cut him off. And I said this to my wife, I said, this is what's become of me. He's in the middle of giving me brachas, and I pressed the button to stop it. This is what's become of us. So because internally we're not there, it's besesa hamadrega, the improvement that's taking place in Musa, in Pnimius, in Sidkis, in Yashvus, in idealism, is still besesa hamadrega, still not there. Therefore, we're not enjoying it. Al ken rabba sin minish and nicest adam bechlal lehenes mi olama. Therefore, we don't have real enjoyment from all the new hamtzaot, all the new discoveries, all the new hamtzaot. So, Baruch Hashem, now we have a GPS. But everybody's screaming and cursing that they have to go out 1,000 times to go here and to go there. Okay, so but now we have the GPS, so when we go, we don't have to get lost when we go to these places that we don't want to go to. We don't want to go there. We don't go to all these places. But now, Baruch Hashem, we have a GPS, and the GPS will tell us how not to get lost when we're going someplace where we don't want to go. Shemechadish oisan rucha hamaisi haholech misrachev, that this ruach hamasi, this ruach of practical, this great ruach of practical wisdom and knowledge that's leading to all of this technology is increasing. But people are not enjoying life anymore. They're enjoying life less and less. Again, this is what it seems that the studies are showing, that it mamish is zelu mazet, that with the increased technology, with the increased comforts of life, there's less happiness. This is exactly what Fuchs is talking about. That if they're not moving together, if they're not synchronized, the internal avoda, idealism and simcha, if it's not synchronized with what's happening in the world, so then what happens is, oftentimes has the opposite. It causes a kilkul achai. And of course, the same things are much better now than they used to be. Much better. But to understand, why didn't Hashem's Baruch drop the cell phone on a bunch of cavemen? That's the point. On uncivilized people, on barbaric people. There's so many reasons why that would cause greater kilkulam, terrible problems.
Using the detonate buttons.
That's what I was saying before, that the Iranians are playing in the basements with who I'm talking about.
With a cell phone.
Oh, you can detonate, right, with using the cell phone. All these Kalim. See, but when these things are put into the hands of people, with the Syrians, these guys that they order on the internet, you know, poisonous chemicals, they get them on the internet. These rats, they get poisonous chemicals and they wrap it and stuff to poison people. It's a pachad. I heard Erev Yontif, I was driving, I heard on the news, there's some Russian guy, I hope he's not Jewish, I don't know, it's hard to tell a lot of times the Russian names, but I hope he's not Jewish. There's a Russian guy that he has this malacha that he breaks into people's computers, like banks and stuff, and he takes classified information, and then he charges you to give you back your files. He's already made, it says there in 7 months or something, he's already made billions of dollars. He's got banks that are paying him to get back this stuff. He's on the most wanted criminal, cyber criminals in the world or something, this guy, Russian guy. No, he charges you to get back your stuff. Yes, but now you have to get back your stuff. He charges the bank to get back all the names and stuff. And how do you know that he's not keeping? He's not going to do it again. I mean, it's all blackmail and extortion with the computer. What's going on? What's going on with the computer? With all this, all the gnavis on the computer. With the things, what's going on? Terrible things. People. credit card, what's it called, identity theft, right? All of these things just going on. And of course, Rav Kook always calls out to the Chachamim of the generation. This always makes me feel bad because there's so few people that are answering his call. But he says, "Ritzuyhi avodas hakodesh." How beneficial is the avodas hakodesh of the Chacham Haruchniyim? Chacham Haruchniyim are those who are wise in Ruchnius. Chacham Haruchniyim. You welcome to have a seat. Chacham Haruchniyim, Moire Hadas, the teachers of religion, of faith. Emes vaYoisha HaElyon, those who are teaching Emes and Yoisha HaElyon, truth and a higher idealistic, more idealistic sense of Yashus. Ma'oire ha'or ha'eloki ba'olam, those who are illuminate the world with the light of God. Shehi misaglim esodam l'chaim ke'ela, for them to prepare the world, to help the world to prepare, to adjust to the better lives that we have. How advanced Rav Kook's way of thinking is. That we need the men of spirit, he says. Ruchnius. Chacham Ruchni Mari Hadas, Ha'emes Ha'yesha Elyon, Ma'oire Ha'or Eloki Ba'olam, those who have the ability, those who illuminate the world with the light of Elokus, of godliness, not just to stay cloistered in their Dalet Amos of religious, of that Or of Elokus, but to help Misaglam Esodom L'chaim Kel, to help prepare mankind, to help us live and enjoy the brachas that we have now in life. How life has improved. If a person is empty on the inside, he doesn't have the Rabbanu Shleilam, so all the toys you give him don't make him happier. So he's tweeting and Facebooking and all of this stuff, and it's a brach and a mensch. So we need, Rav Kook says, Ritzui, we need the work, the Avodas HaKodesh of Anshei Ruach, of people of Ruach, so to help us evolve more internally, so that we can enjoy the benefits that the world is now, the Sargoch HaPratis, that the world now has to offer. You know, people didn't see their children. Years ago, they didn't see their children for 25 years, 30 years, you didn't see your children. You didn't see your family. You went someplace. You moved someplace. Especially girls, they went and they moved with their husband somewhere. They didn't see their parents the rest of their lives. They didn't see their parents the rest of their lives. That was not an unusual thing. That wasn't unusual. I think the Lubavitcher Rebbe Schusselman, for the last, I don't know, it was 17 or 25 years of his life, he didn't see his father, the Tzadok of Leivik, he didn't see him. He didn't see his father. It was Benisim and Niflos, he was able to spend the last years of his mother was able to spend the last years together with him. But he went to Paris and brought her to Crown Heights. But he wasn't with his parents, weren't by his chasna. The Bachar of his parents weren't by his chasna. His chasna was in Warsaw. His parents couldn't get out. They were in a rice kavaf and they get placed in Russia, not far from China. He couldn't get it because his father was considered to be a dangerous person to the Russians. He was in exile because he was teaching Torah, and the wedding was in Warsaw. He couldn't come. He didn't see his parents all the years, and that was very common. What a bracha it is that even if your children don't live near you, that even parents that have children are just well, as long as everybody's well and they could afford, people are able to go, to come, California, different places, to see the children, to be together, to spend yontif, to spend time. This is only recently that people have this. Even when I was a kid, if somebody lived in California, right, you make a trip, it was like you'd go once every 2 years or something to California, it was already a big thing. Now people that go to Eretz Yisrael for Shabbos. And to get to see their children, to get to see relatives, to be together, the grandchildren. So Rav Kook says that we need the Ma'ari Ha'or Eloki, those who are illuminating the light of Elokus, of God in the world, to help us, to bring us to that level where we're able to enjoy all the brachas that we have in the world. Shiroi al yodom lekarbalas kol ha-brachas atzunuslai. That man should be roi, should be on the level where he's able to be mekabel all the brachas that are hidden. As a result of the great wealth of scientific, practical, scientific, technological development, the man should be able to enjoy that. Because she'ein gadlo v'osho nerach k'roi. Because all of the greatness that man has, meaning the physical comforts that a person has, va'osho and the wealth that he has, she'ein gadlo v'osho nerach k'roi. He can't value them. He can't appreciate all of the whatever the wealth he has. If he himself inside is poor, so then what does the wealth do for him? Like the guy that signs the $100 million contract, but he inside of himself he's nothing, he doesn't have anything. Shein godlo v'osho nerach k'roi k'im k'sheyechubu le'oyshe ikari shel birchas haruach. Because he says all of the greatness in terms of wealth and the physical blessings of life, What good is it to man unless he's attached kshiyachubalai aisha ikari to the aisha ikari, to the main aisha, the main wealth? So birchas haruach, the bracha ruach, ruchnius shemakari hi birchas yoytze ha'ilamim kulam v'shifas ayrei shemakari birchas yoytze ha'ilamim kulam. The makar, the source, of course, of all of that, the makar is shemakar hi birchas yoytze ha'ilam mekulam. The makar of all aisha is the creator of all worlds, and the shefa of his light, and the blessing of receiving his light, and being able to receive his light. If I just pass this to me. I'll just read a few sentences. It's a long piece in Eretz HaKodesh Nechelik Beis. There's a whole section in Nechelik Beis called Hisalus HaOlam. Hisalus HaOlam, the ascent of the world. Hisalus HaOlam. And the whole section here in Eretz HaKodesh Nechelik Beis, if you have time, it's hard, very, very hard to look at. The whole section here is on this inyan of how the world is evolving, how the world is ascending. And the challenges that come with the ascent of the world. We'll do a little bit. I want to get so focused on this, we have to move forward, but a little bit. It's a very big yisod, because we're living in this. Scott, you have? Hisalus harotzen v'haseicha ha'enoshi. Yesh ba'olam toichen toiva holech umisala. You see in the world that there's a toichen tov, a content, an inner content, a toichen toiv that's holech umisala, that's ascending, holech umisala. It's getting better and better, higher and higher, stronger and stronger. Again, and we see this manifested in the rotzen. Man wants better things, and the rotzen and the teva and the nature of man is improving. Ba'avar, in the past, hoya hateva v'harotzen ha'enoshi yosef paroi. In the past, man's teva, man's natural instincts, way of thinking and so on, and his rotzen was more paroi, was wild, primitive, barbaric. Mimashu ka'es, what it is now. Uliyom ha'boim ye'yaisenach v'tov me'ahove. And days are coming in the future. It's going to be even more comfortable and better. Life will be better. And the tev and the rotzen will improve. The tev and the rotzen will be stronger and stronger, better. Again, tremendous moral improvement. Moral, ethical improvement. Tzedek, chesed, yoisha, chemla, achmonis. Much stronger than he used to be. Ba'avar ha'isa mohus ha'tayru ha'musa p'ayni b'yaisa le'bitl koch ha'rotz na'tivi. In the past, ha'isa mohus ha'tayru ha'musa, the mohus of Torah and Musa were focused mostly on trying to overcome bitl koch ha'rotz na'tivi. Trying to fight against, to use the Torah to fight against the natural rotzen that was so barbaric. B'nei shara ha'yim rubabo. Because the world, to a large extent, was so steeped in achzarius and cruelty and so on, and Jews were affected by these things. I mean, it's amazing how we lived. And my father used to tell me that when he during the Milchama, he was schlepping from this place to that place, and so he was. There was time that he was in these villages, the peasants, I don't know where it was, in Poland, so I'm not sure where he was at that point. He was telling me, he said, my father said, you have no musig of what a poyer, a peasant was. He said, a musig of what it meant, a peasant in the villages there in Europe. And I wouldn't even describe, because my father told me a few things. It was how they lived, the barbaric people. There's still plenty of shiraim of that, but like you hear like a little bit now, if you in these third world countries, what's going on, like in Nigeria, which is the most chashuva country in Africa, you understand? Nigeria is already a chashuva country in Africa. And they kidnapped, I think these girls are still missing, right? There were hundreds of girls these animals that come in, when they have machlokes with each other, they don't shoot each other. They like dismemberments. They slice each other up and they make a cholent, mamish. they're still in that sugya of what it was like in the Altaheim. How life was in the old days. They're behind. So we grew up, I mean, Jews of course are holy and pure, and my father always says to me that it's hard to imagine, to understand how we grew up in the Beis Medrash and the way that we lived, and we were surrounded by such low people, how the people, the peasants. In the city, there was some more advancement, and they were more civilized. But first, you walked outside the villages, the peasants, it's hard to believe. Like, you know, when we see somebody like on a motorcycle turning it up loud and screaming out something, that's the lowest thing. How could he get lower than that? You know, guy's got tattoos on his bike, and he screams like it can't get worse than that. You know, drinking a beer with his girlfriend, and this is like nothing. They were barbaric people. violent, barbaric people. And the Torah and the Musa was to a large extent preoccupied with overcoming the influence, fighting against the influence of a barbaric world. Because Ra, evil, was Merubabai. When we see, and he said there'll even be more of this in the future, where everything is receiving a tzura chadasha, a new tzura. Ad shahadrisha shel hachofesh haritzoni tovas tvias musarius. There's more and more of a demand for freedom, for a person to be able to live the way that he wants. Our grandparents, great grandparents, there was no musag of living the way that they wanted to live. They couldn't. They weren't free to live the way they wanted to. First of all, in those days when Jews couldn't even own anything, they couldn't own their own property, and they couldn't go where they wanted to go, and they couldn't be in the professions that they wanted to be in. They couldn't study where they wanted to study. It was chayfish. There was no freedom. The world was controlled by tyrants, by dictators, by tyrants. So in Western Europe, so they were more civilized. So before one king would kill out his entire family, he would say, "Excuse me, have a nice day," and then they would kill him. But the whole Seder Chaim was a Seder Chaim of violence. But of course, as we see more and more, there's a drisha shel chayfish aritzah, which is tovas tevius musaris. There's a demand that free spirit of man is demanding more and more musa, more musa. Sheinichlus hachavos amuvukashis, so that this longing for freedom, for chayfish aritzah, should be filled, to be free. Shalas tira kama toiv etzunaba. We'll see more and more. Kama toiva tzvunaba, how much good there is hidden in the rotzna chavshi, in man's will, in man's longing to be free, to be unfettered, to be who he wants to be. This tremendous toiv. Tremendous, tremendous toiv. But of course, Rav Kook explains that with that there comes tremendous challenges. Let's skip a little bit. To go over to the next side, which says B'yom HaRishonim, three lines on the top, on the next page. No, on the same side. Oh, yeah. Look, it says B'yom HaRishonim. No. You see, B'yom HaRishonim? Mm-hmm. B'yom HaRishonim, Hoya HaSeichel HaKloli Shel HaNushis Pochus Mefutach. In the early days, in those early years, the intellect, the general intellect of mankind was much less developed. The chefetzo hayagam ken yoser barbari, and therefore the chefetz, the will, the longings were, the desires were more barbaric. The seichel was less developed, but education was educated. It was education, and the chefetz was, therefore the chefetz was barbaric. Yoser barbari. Then the godly vision, meaning of the Nevi'im and of Torah, was needed just to drive away, to push away Seichel HaSoira, the wildness of, you know, the emptiness of the mind. Seichel HaSoira, a mind that was wandering and draying, and it was dangerous. That was meshubed to all kinds of animalistic desires and ways of thinking and living. The natural inclination of mankind in the past was much more to ugliness and sin. Much less refined, much less civilized. His basmus ha'olam ha'idei kol hemshech ha'daris in the evolution, the improvement of the world over all of these generations. Ha'idei kol hemshech ha'daris ha'idei bisam ha'yosei elyon shel giluyei ha'shechina b'Yisrael, which was caused primarily, of course, because of the Giluy HaShechina, the revelation of Shechina within Klai Yisrael, that we were the teachers of the world. We were the ones that led the campaign, always, to a higher level of education, higher moral standards, and so on. Vaidei Nisyonis Hazmanim, with all the challenges and difficulties of time, his Gadlus Hayachas Echerusi, and a greater sense of social responsibility, a social, societal improvement connection, and so on. V'esrachavus ha'madoyim, an expansion in scientific knowledge. All of this zikako harbeis ruach ha'adam has led to the refinement, the much greater refinement of ruach ha'adam, of ruach ha'adam. Ad sh'afa pishle nigmar adayin taharoso, even though man's purification, of course, is not complete. That mankind, much more than ever before, is naturally becoming more coordinated with the Toiv Eloki, with what God wants from the world, with the Toiv that God wants in the world. It's becoming better and better and better. But the problem is, v'neged oisa chelek shekvar nizdakech muchrachas yeh liberalius lispashe. Lispais mokum, and of course, liberalism. Liberalism is now pushing forth into the world free. That's a tremendous improvement, a tremendous moral improvement, that people are sick and tired of being slaves. They're sick and tired of being under the control of tyrants and so on. So liberalius, this liberalism, the ruach of liberalism is spreading everywhere. Ukshaba hamesaris vadas afilu b'tziras ayosat taru luchbayish tachas yodezach chelik hamazuka lutatzliach. And the young generation, when the young generation feels that religion is coming, that religion is now the tyrant, the religion is coming to control me from being free, right? There's a spirit of freedom. Do what you want. And that's healthy. That's very healthy. That's a tremendous improvement. But at the same time, now what's happened is that now religion is seen as the new tyrant. Religion is the one that's holding you back from being free. It used to be that the pirates was holding you back. The anti-Semite was holding you back. The king, the dictator, was holding you back from being free. Now who is it? Now it's your father, it's your mother, it's your Rav, it's your Rebbe, it's your Shishiv. There are new dictators. And we see that any attempt to hold back the spirit of liberalism, of freedom, lo tatzliach, is unsuccessful. To hold it back. This is coming around like this. Again, mankind doesn't yet have the kalim to use this free spirit in the right way. The free spirit is to get closer to God. And you're allowed to go daven now. You can go to learn. They're not going to stop you. You can become a tzaddik now. But the kalim has not yet been improved to such a degree that mankind is able to deal in a healthy way with this spirit of freedom. Democracy is killing everybody over here. Not everybody. There are a lot of casualties. You do whatever you want. So how's religion supposed to deal with this? He says the moral improvement and the sense of freedom. He says Adrab is supposed to help the ruach adam in the kunis tahiroso to become greater, to become more pure and more holy. You're free to be holy. To improve even more and more spiritually and morally and ethically, we're free. But the freedom is being used in such a way where in many ways man is still a wild beast like he was in the old days. So now he's not going around on a horse with a sword, you know, cutting off somebody's head. But what's going on with the among the free spirited, what's going on? It's not barbaric. Go to any college campus. The drinking and the orgies and the just a typical college campus. It's not barbaric. There's b'chlal no respect, no inyan of a man, of a woman, of an eishes ish, a married person, a whole inyan of what people look at. And these barbarians that Rav Kook is describing from the old days, if they would see the pictures that people are looking at nowadays on the television, on the computers, they would think that we're bigger barbarians than them. They used to go in the street, they would wear clothing. I'm not talking about in Africa. Don't stop. In Western countries, people would go dressed. Again, 50, 60, 70 years ago, people were very tsunua. They were dressed properly, they went on the street. People did all kinds of crazy things, but there was a certain sense of dignity, a certain thing that sneers. That now, with the freeing of men, with liberalism, I'm skipping a little bit. He says the sakana v'am yoyse gadol k'shalachim built him for some. The danger, there's even a greater danger now, because now there's this feeling of chavshius, of being free. And Baruch Hashem, there's been this great moral development that man should not be enslaved, that the human being should be free. And we're not going to put up with dictators and with tyrants. We're not going to put up with Nazis. We're not going to put up with Hitler, Yamashima, Mussolini, Yamashima. We're finished with that. We're free. No. But the sakana of this is great. Shalachim built him because there are many parts of society that are not yet, you know, have not yet improved. They haven't gotten there yet. Hasridim harabim shalah barbarius. The shiraim, he says, of barbarians, and there's still leftovers. Holchim b'matzav mativiyah paru. They continue on in a wild, uncontrollable state. So this is the matzav that Rav Kook says, our dor, hador, the generation, is very odd, it's very strange. On the one hand, tremendous, tremendous improvement, morally, even spiritually, technologically, but on the other hand, because it's not yet fully aligned, there's a shiris akeil, because of this lack of complete alignment, we're not there yet. And there's been hashgacha over time, that these things should at least, to some degree, should be synchronized. So the generation is a generation that's filled with contradictions. Mr. Shem will continue next lecture.